Now on The Pulse, useful and healthy information for you and your family. It's Northeast Delta Dental Radio with Tom Raffio and the Northeast Delta Dental Team.
Welcome to Northeast Delta Dental Radio. I'm Tom Raffio from Northeast Delta Dental Radio, and I'm also the head coach of the dental insurance company known as Northeast Delta Dental. And let me start with my real job, which is dental insurance. And the Affordable Care Act has now been with us. It was passed in March of 2010, and October 1st of 2013, public exchanges were created. And in New Hampshire, we chose in New Hampshire, when I say we, the legislature and regulators chose to use the federal software. So to navigate on the public exchange, you go on the federal software called healthcare.gov. And we have now had about 1,000 citizens in New Hampshire who have purchased individual dental coverage through the public exchange. Now, one of our strategies was to make sure we had all of our bases covered, and we are a partner of the Fisher Cats, so I can use that analogy, having all of our bases covered. So we realized that it may be that it would be difficult for some citizens to navigate the public exchange on day one, and that's in fact turned out what had happened. So what we did, with the help of a couple of other Delta plans, we created a private exchange called DeltaDentalCoversMe.com. That's one word, DeltaDentalCoversMe.com. And already on that, over 3,000 individuals in New Hampshire have purchased individual dental coverage through DeltaDentalCoversMe.com. So what this indicates is that the trend that I have spoken about in the past of the decoupling of benefits from the employer, that trend has actually started in the 21st century, even before the Affordable Care Act was passed. So it's very important that Northeast Delta Dental, in addition to its traditional, what we call our traditional group programs, that is employer-sponsored dental plans, that we have a vehicle for individuals who are either retired or have been laid off perhaps, or a consultant, or just not working for whatever reason, for an individual to purchase dental insurance. And again, you can get that on our private exchange, DeltaDentalCoversMe.com, for about $35 a month. The public exchange is healthcare.gov. The benefit, though, of DeltaDentalCoversMe.com is basically any dentist really will be reimbursed, where in 2014 on the public exchange, you have to be a Northeast Delta Dental PPO dentist to get reimbursed. So I would opt for, frankly, the private exchange, DeltaDentalCoversMe.com. And of course, the dental premium is relatively low, so you're not going to get a tax subsidy anyway. So again, if you're in need of dental coverage and you're not affiliated with a group that has Delta Dental, please go on DeltaDentalCoversMe.com. This strategy of having all of our bases covered, I write about it in the book that I co-authored with Dave Cowens. It's called There Are No Do-Overs. We had one real opportunity to make the financial investment to create the private exchange, as well as the investment needed to go on to the public exchange, which was a very difficult process. And we made that decision thanks to a very supportive Delta Dental Board of Directors. And so the genesis of the title, There Are No Do-Overs, is that for certain key, huge decisions, you don't have a second opportunity, just like you don't have a second opportunity to make a first impression. So that's the genesis of the book, There Are No Do-Overs. And in the book, I talk about the strategy of the healthcare reform and how we reacted to it and planned for this day. The genesis, too, of There Are No Do-Overs has that sort of sports flavor. And so my co-author is Dave Cowens. His nickname was Big Red. So at the end of each chapter, there's a Big Red Factor summary. And the book you can purchase either on Amazon or go on the website, which is bigredfactor.com. So I am blessed today to have a conversation about dental x-rays or radiographs with Dr. Richard Berryman. In the spirit of transparency, I've known Richard for many, many years, both as in the community, with the Rotary, as a participating dentist, as an all-around good guy. And of course, now he actually works for us part-time at Northeast Delta Dental. So Richard, thank you for joining me this early March, March 1st and 2nd. It's hard to believe we've gotten by February with all those snowstorms. Do we able to survive all the snow?
I was coach.
Very good. And that, of course, is one of the nicknames I have around the campus. So, Richard, just for the benefit of the listening audience, I know you've been on before, and of course, we've had some of your colleagues, Dr. Caray and Dr. Mills on as well. But why don't you talk about your background with as a practicing dentist, as well as your role with organized dentistry, as well as if you want to talk a little bit about the Rotary, that'll be good. And then we'll get into our conversation about dental x-rays.
Oh, thanks. I'm retired now as a private practitioner, but I practiced dentistry for 41 years, and of that, 38 of them in New Hampshire in Concord. So it's been a wonderful place to live and a wonderful place to practice. I miss it terribly. I would love to go back and do it all over again, but you know, you can only go around once. Like you said, there's no do-over. So, but I had a great time.
And you were obviously a wonderful dentist. And tell us about your daughter. I understand she got a recent promotion, or at least an opportunity.
She did.
Tell us about her name.
Well, Jennifer, she goes by Jennifer Berryman in her professional life. She is currently the executive editor at WCVB Channel 5 in Boston. She has been there for 19 years, but somebody came looking for her and made her an offer she couldn't refuse. So as of the end of March, she will be the new Vice Chancellor of Communications for the University of Massachusetts Medical School.
Wow. What an awesome. Sure you're really proud of that. So do you plan on staying the rest of your active life in New Hampshire?
I don't know. I think so. We love
even after this February.
We love the four seasons, and I'm sure at some point in time when I get finished with my Rotary responsibilities in about 18 months, that my wife and I'll take off some in the wintertime and go someplace warmer.
Great. Now, I will have, since you mentioned the Rotary, why don't you talk about that assignment, and I will have Chris Parkinson on the next couple of weeks to talk about his recent trip, that some years you have attended that as well. So talk about your role and a little bit about what that trip is all about.
Well, when I retired from practicing dentistry, I had spent 12 years in state and national dental organizational with the American Dental Association, New Hampshire Dental Society, and I my wife said, you need something to do, and so what better than to serve with Rotary? I've been a Rotarian now for 38 years, and so as of July 1st, this coming July, I will be district governor of 59 Rotary clubs in southern Vermont and southern New Hampshire. And we're the conduit between the clubs themselves and their communities and Rotary International. I mean, it's a worldwide organization with over 1.2 million Rotarians, and we are there, service above self. And as I like to say, to paraphrase the British Empire, the sun never sets on Rotary projects.
So. It's so true. And tell us about the project that Chris just returned from. Chris.
Yeah, our district has, for the last 10, 12 years, has had a program with Honduras, and it's called Amigos de Honduras. And Chris Parkinson has led our district team down there on multiple occasions, and they just got back. Each mission has three components. There's a construction team that this year started to build a school, and that'll be finished by the local Hondurans. And then we have a medical team, which is physicians and dentists. And then there is we started a company down there. Not really a company, but a business that the locals will make biosand water filters for individual homes. And I think they delivered 62 of them in the week they were down there.
That's terrific. Well, that's a great. And now when your colleagues on the Rotary, when they hear this show live first weekend in March, does that mean the next meeting you're going to have to give a happy dollar out? They still do that?
We still do happy dollars.
So yeah. I think you're going to be on the hook for that.
I gave a happy $100 for my daughter's new job.
Well, that was worth $200, I think. So that's great. You're quite generous. Okay, so let's get to the subject at hand, and then we'll spend, after the commercial break, more time on it. But you represented the American Dental Association's Council on Dental Practice on update of dental radiologic guidelines in conjunction with the Food and Drug Administration. So tell us about your role in that, and then after The commercial break, we'll get into more details. Radiographs, more commonly known as x-rays. But tell us about what you did with the ADA.
Well, I was in 2004, and the FDA and the American Dental Association felt it was time to upgrade the guidelines and review the guidelines for dental radiographs. It hadn't been done since 1987. And with the advances in equipment and technology, it was time to upgrade it. So it was a real privilege for me to be on that panel.
Now, how did you get on that panel? Obviously, you were an active dentist at that point. Was that just an interest you had in it and sort of dealing with x-rays, or did you?
Well, no, I was a member of, I was representing the first ADA district, which is New England, with the Council on Dental Practice with the American Dental Association. And I was sort of the chair of what they call Section A. And one of the things that Section A was involved with overseeing was dental radiographs, as well as dental publications and things like that. So I was just fortunate enough to be picked.
Well, that's awesome. So tell us what was the conclusion of the standards, and then after the commercial break, we'll sort of backtrack and figure out how they came to those conclusions.
Well, I think the conclusions, you have to look at that these are guidelines, and they're guidelines for how often radiographs should be taken for different patients, and the fact that any dental practitioner always has to keep in mind that there's a balance between the diagnostic information we can get from x-rays and the radiation exposure to the patient. And that's the key. So it is simply a guideline. It is not a standard of care. It is an adjunct to the clinical judgment of the practitioner.
So as we embark on the commercial break, what is the actual guidelines for a bite wing x-ray?
Well, it depends on the risk assessment of the patient, and we can go into that more often. But for people of high risk, obviously, it's going to, for dental decay and periodontal disease, the need to take x-rays is more often than someone who is completely healthy.
So like a lot of complicated subject matters, the answer is always depends, and that is indeed the right
exactly.
answer. Because the great quote that I use, I actually used it in my book, was that a simple answer to a complex question, you can have a simple answer to a complex question, but those answers are generally wrong. So after commercial break, we'll return with Dr. Richard Berryman. We'll get into more details on x-rays. Stay tuned.
Hi, I'm Lisa, your Delta Dental Benefits rep. Any questions today?
How long should I brush my teeth for?
2 minutes.
Why should I visit the dentist?
Professional preventative care promotes good oral health.
What's the most popular color of toothbrush?
Blue.
She's good.
As the most experienced dental benefits company, Delta Dental delivers unmatched local service. So enrollees feel taken care of every time.
Visit Northeast Delta Dental at nedelta.com.
Welcome back to Northeast Delta Dental Radio. Thank you for rejoining us after the commercial break. And with me on this first weekend in March is Dr. Richard Berryman, who practiced general dentistry for 41 years in the Concord area. And one of the great things about having this radio show on the weekend, we're able to talk about a lot of topics, oral health related as well as wellness. Last weekend, of course, we had the famous physical fitness coach and cross-country coach and hockey coach and skiing coach and Tom Walton. And of course, he was talking about nutrition and wellness and fitness. And the week before that, we had our vice president of sales and marketing, Jody Hidalon, and he talked about some of the things that I talked about before the commercial break, how easy it is to purchase a dental insurance individual product in New Hampshire through Delta Dental, coversme.com. And you can't have good overall health without good oral health. So back to Dr. Berryman, let's talk a little bit about risk assessment and how it relates to the x-ray guidelines. And then can you, for the listening audience, explain, sometimes you might use the term radiographs and sometimes x-rays, and I think just to educate the listening audience on that nomenclature.
Well, they're the same thing. You know, I think it's probably better to use x-rays because that's what the public is used to hearing and understanding. So, for example, you had asked me earlier, you know, how often should an X-ray be taken? And again, my answer was it depends. If you look at the radiologic guidelines or X-ray guidelines that the FDA and the American Dental Association have put out, for example, You go to your dentist for your usual 6-month checkup, and they say, well, it's time to take your X-rays, your bite wing X-rays. And the guidelines say that for a recall patient with a low risk for tooth decay, that those X-rays should be taken somewhere between every 24 to 36 months, 2 to 3 years. For someone who has a high risk, maybe they have a poor diet. Maybe they have a lot of old fillings. Maybe you want to do it as little as 12 to 18 months. So it depends. And again, you have to balance the risk to the patient with radiation to the information you can get from the dental X-rays. And again, the guidelines are just that. They are guidelines, not standard of care. So they are an adjunct to the judgment of the dentist. Now, when you look at ionizing radiation, I mean, people will say, well, don't X-rays cause medical problems? Don't they cause cancer? And there was a study that came out, a very, very valid scientific study. It came out 2 years ago, and it is relating dental X-rays to a specific cancer, and it was headed up by Dr. Elizabeth Kloss from Yale School of Medicine and also Brigham and Women's Hospital in Boston. And essentially what they were saying is that dental X-rays, and I hate to use the word in excess, but dental X-rays can lead to an increased risk for meningioma. And meningioma is a non-malignant tumor of the lining of the brain and the spinal cord. And that the study showed that people who get more X-rays, more dental X-rays, more often, especially children under the age of 10, have a increased risk of as much as 3 to 5 times to get a meningioma than those who don't have any X-rays or have very few X-rays. And so, again, you have to balance these things. And it's not to scare people. You use the science and you use the guidelines to for example, you may go to a dentist or a physician who wants to take an X-ray because there might be something there. And that's called occult disease. The patient has no symptoms and no signs of any problems, but somebody will say, well, we need to take an X-ray just in case something's there. That is completely wrong. You should not take X-rays, should never take X-rays, unless a patient has. The American Dental Association has a longstanding position that dentists should order dental X-rays for patients only when necessary for diagnosis and treatment. So everybody needs to be their own advocate, and you need to understand what your own risk. So there is a website, again, today we go to websites called mydentalscore.com. And if you go there, you'll answer probably 20 questions, and it will give you your risk score for tooth decay and gum disease.
So that's mydentalscore.com, and you can get that. That's a generic website. You can also go on Northeast Delta Dental's website as well to get mydentalscore.com. And I know that we've promoted that at Fisher Cats game. So that might take me 5 minutes to complete it, and then I would bring that sheet of paper and give it to my hygienist. Is that how it basically
hygienist
works?
Or dentist, exactly, and say, you know, what do you think about this?
And that gives them some data points to look at.
Yeah.
So like a lot of things in life, Richard, I mean, it's a balance, you know, risk assessment, everything, I guess, in life, there's a certain amount of risk. I mean, we could walk out of this studio and get run over by a car, I suppose. So everything, there's...
Yeah,
you
probably
know,
not a bus in Concord.
Not a Concord coach, maybe, but... let's segue a little bit into, so if there's no, you know, by the way, if anybody wants to read the study that Richard referred to, you can go on WebMD Health News, and it was reviewed by Louise Chang, MD, and that will give you the study that was Elizabeth Kloss that from Yale University School of Medicine in Boston, Brigham and Women's, and that's what Richard was alluding to. So most dental plans, as you know, traditional dental plans, and again, you're saying these are guidelines, not standards, but pretty much most dental plans cover bite wing x-rays once a year, correct? So let's talk about plans to have a more evidence-based dentistry approach to when to do those, you know, when to do those radiographs. And I realize, and I'm in the business, so I understand we have to have certain standards, you know, x-rays, bite wing x-rays once every 12 months and a full series, whatever, once every 5 years, whatever, and crowns can't be replaced until 7 years and things like that. But so I know those are standards, but are we working towards a more evidence-based dentistry approach?
Well, those are insurance standards too. And you know, the insurance companies or they have to have certain things in order to have your actuarial tables and know what to charge. So, but that's different than the science. And again, I'm going to go back to risk assessment. This is a fairly new concept in dentistry, and all dental practices should know and help advise all of their patients what their risk assessment is, and then their treatment should be based on that. For example, you know, Northeast Delta's had a pilot program for the last couple of years called the Health and Oral Wellness Program. And
we call that HOW, Health Through Oral Wellness.
Yeah. And all the patients that are in this study do a risk assessment. And if their risk is high, then they may be entitled to more benefits under a plan than somebody that's completely healthy.
So, for example, if as a result of that, it pointed out that I had more gum disease coming or emerging or whatever, that I get a third cleaning in a year as opposed to two, things like that.
Correct. Yeah.
And it's more evidence based than that's great. So glad that you're a part of that. And what do you think are the obstacles to it, though? In other words, do you think, in our case, of course, we were one of the pilots, and there's another company that was a pilot as well. And of course, we're a dental insurance company, so it was easy for me to galvanize our employees and say, let's do it. Do you think it would be perceived, would a human resources professional of another company think, well, you're kind of getting invasive on this for something that maybe not, you know, life and death?
Well, I think as a patient going to a physician or a dentist, any health provider, I think you have to advocate for yourself, and you have to say, you know, I have certain risks. My family has had all the way through the last five generations have had heart problems at an early age, and so you need to let your physician know, and the physician needs to be aware that maybe we need to do some things differently for you than we would for somebody who's parents and grandparents lived to be 110 and never had any heart problems. In the same way in dentistry, the key with dentistry, as we always say, is that probably 95% to 98% of dental disease is preventable. So if you take good care of your mouth and you eat properly and you can minimize your risks tremendously in dentistry, where you may not always be able to in overall health.
Right. And that's the great thing. That's why I love my job, because oral health, unlike some other medical issues, I mean, it really is preventable. Like you say, fluoridated water, go to the dentist regularly, brush and floss.
Dental sealants.
Dental sealants. It's like, I know I have four children and none of them have caries, none of them have cavities. They had sealants, they had access to fluoridated water. And my parents did get me to the dentist, but we lived in an area that didn't have fluoridated water. And as a result, I have, my teeth look good, but I certainly have amalgam fillings all over the place. So I think that's a great thing about, I think, our industry, Richard, is that with education, brushing and flossing, which is why we do the Oral Health Challenge with the Fisher Cats. We're trying to get kids to brush and floss in between visits, and then they earn tickets. And actually, what I've been told is it helps educate their parents too, who may not have been as particular about their teeth. So I know it's education, brush and floss, go to the dentist regularly. In fact, your colleague, Dr. Mills, developed 10 resolutions for good oral health in 2014, and we had Shannon on the show a few weeks ago, and those 10 resolutions are on the Northeast Delta Dental website, so if people want to see those. But most of it's common sense, like you said, brush and floss in between visits and so forth. And it must be, when you were practicing, it must have been occasionally frustrating to do all that you can as a dentist, but then if your client didn't take care of his or her teeth in between visits, you were stuck.
Exactly. Compliance was just incredibly important, and it was frustrating. And we all have those, had and have those type of patients in our profession. And you do the best you can, and you just keep plugging away. But you know, again, looking at the technology improvements, probably a lot of people have noticed over the last 15 years or so that now they go to the dentist and, my goodness, they've got these x-rays where they put this thing in my mouth and boom, it pops up on the computer almost immediately. And those are digital x-rays. Now, they have reduced, digital x-rays have reduced the radiation anywhere from 50 to 75%, depending on the type of x-ray. So constantly technology is improving and making less risk.
Exactly. And it's fun to go to the dentist because one of the statistics that Dr. Mills, your colleague, and I sort of scratch our head about, even when an employer covers the dental insurance 100% of the premium, we still find that only 80% of those people go to the dentist. We can't, you know, it's like, so there are definitely folks that have a phobia for whatever reason. And of course, but at least we're getting that 80% of the people to go. If you don't have dental insurance, the latest statistic is that of that population, only like 30 to 35% of those people go to the dentist. So another reason why I really love my job, it does get people, you know, to the dentist. So Dr. Berryman, as always, I'm going to have you back. We've come to the end of the line here. You mentioned mydentalscore.com, so I encourage folks to go to that website. And if you're an employer out there and you're interested in the HOW program, if you want a more evidence-based dentist dental program, just call me directly, CEO of the company, 223-1300, and you'll get me directly, and I'll put you in touch with the proper people. So thank you, Dr. Richard Berryman. You are terrific, and we're so lucky to have you on board with Northeast Delta Dental. Thank you.
Yeah, pleasure being here. Thank you.
Tom Raffio will return next weekend for more of Northeast Delta Dental Radio.